Prepare ye the way of the Lord. 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 Prepare the way of the Lord, because he's coming back and he wants us to be ready. He's coming back for his bride. And there's going to be a wedding, folks. And I already know this wedding's going to be something like we've never seen before. It is going to be glorious and it is going to be beautiful. But we want to make sure that our names are written in the wedding guest book, the book of life. We want to make sure each one here, your name is in that book. So when this wedding comes, we'll be a part of it. Amen? If we can, turn into our Bibles. Does everyone have a Bible? Or if you have a Bible on your phone, turn to 1 John. Chapter 4, 7 through 21. Austin has been preaching on 1 John for the last several weeks. Last week he talked about the first six verses in chapter 4. And I'm going to read the starting with chapter 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the proposition for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Not the Savior of just a few, but of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God abides, or love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, that we might have confidence, as also we, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And if someone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from God, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. Amen? It talks in the Bible in Revelations about a new Jerusalem. I believe that new Jerusalem is, it's us. It's the church. It's the bride. And that is, the day's going to come when the new Jerusalem will come down and that marriage takes place. It says in Revelations that, if you look at Revelations chapters 1, 5 through 6, and also chapter 21, 2, these are some verses where it's talking about Christ coming for his bride. And when he comes for his bride, the Lord says that when we see him face to face, we will become as he is. At that time, all of our imperfections, all of our weaknesses will be cast away. We will be truly a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, sanctification is something that's going on right now with us. But that sanctification becomes complete when we stand face to face before Christ. Are you guys following me? How do I make sure that my name is on that book when it comes time for the wedding? I think that in 1 John, part of what we're seeing is how God wants us to live out our lives. How many people have ever been hurt by somebody? I would say almost every one of us. I'd say we all have. But sometimes it's the people who we love the most who hurt us the most. But what happens is that if I hold on to that hurt, it's not going to affect the person who hurt me, is it? It's going to affect me. It becomes like a cancer. It wells up inside. All of a sudden, my blood pressure shoots up. I've known of people who, they've said actually because of unforgiveness, they even developed a type of cancer. You know, because when you're holding those things in, it affects your body. Not just spiritually, but physically. And it is so important that I let go and let God. That I trust my life and all the things that I encounter in this life to the Lord. That I don't personalize every time something happens or someone says something that sort of hurts my feelings. Am I making sense? I want to make sure that people are following me. I know I can be scatterbrained sometimes. And I hope I can keep my flow going. But it is so vital that as the church, we let people know who God is. We're called to prepare the way of the Lord. You know, in the old covenant, there were prophets. There was Isaiah, Elijah, Jeremiah, Jonah, Hosea. I mean, the list goes on. Someone says, well, what happened to the prophets? I want to encourage you to think that we, the body of Christ, are the prophets today. How we live our lives is telling the world who Jesus is. And I don't know about you guys, but I do know I do not want to be a false prophet. I don't want to show the world a God that's unloving or uncaring. Now, love is not always ooey-gooey. I don't know what else word to use, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes we think love means all this old romantic wishy-gushy. And if you love your child and your child is doing something that could hurt themselves, what do you do? Correct your child. You discipline, right? Hopefully in love, not in anger, but it's still, that is love. Discipline is love. Not ignoring when someone is going off the path, that's not love. But when I'm disciplined, it's because I know God loves me. And He wants me to have the best life I can have. And in so doing, then yes, I get disciplined, or he'll prune, as it says in the, you know, he takes the vine. We're all part of the vine. And that vine, for it to be healthy, gets pruned. Do you know what I mean by the word pruned? You know, they make nips on it and cut off the parts that aren't bearing fruit so that it can have more fruit. And that's what God wants to do with our lives. That's the preparation that God wants to take place inside of us so that we truly will be that prophetic voice to the world we're living in. That my prayer, someone asked me last night, what do you want to be remembered as? To me, that's a tricky question. I said, I hope people do remember that sometimes I did have a sense of humor. That I was able to laugh at myself. But the truth is, I hope people don't remember anything about me. I want them to remember Jesus living in me. I want people to look at my life and say, you know, I think he represented Christ. To me, there is nothing that's more important than that. Years ago, when I was doing mission work in Central America, we slept on dirt floors. We had no running water, no electricity. We did our clothes. You had to go out to the creek and wash your clothes in the creek. So I might be a city-fied person, but I learned to do things the old, old-fashioned way. Every night before I went to bed, I had to look under my sleeping bag to make sure I didn't have a scorpion or brown recluse spider. And I did find one a couple of times. But the conditions we lived in, also Guatemala was having their civil war. So bombs were falling at nighttime. You'd hear the bombs falling all around you. Some people say, well, man, that's difficult. That's hard. Man, you had I don't know if I could give up all that comfort stuff. I would go back there just like that if I could. Because during that time, I wasn't giving up anything. Oh, physically, yeah, it was a little rough at times. But what I got back, I can't express in words. I felt like I was doing what God meant me to do on this earth. The more we think we're giving up, I want to promise you something. And I don't like making promises unless I know it's something I can make and be real. And that promise is when you give to Christ, what you're going to receive back is far, far more and far more valuable. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the example that Christ has given us. Because it says, no greater love knoweth any man than to lay down his life for his brother. And see, Christ didn't just tell us that. He showed us that at the cross. He did not have to go to the cross. He didn't have to do it. He freely chose. Years ago, I heard that some people thought God was angry. That God was angry at us because we killed Christ. Yes, it's true. The people who killed Christ, they weren't Jews. They weren't. Christ died because of all of us. But it wasn't us. It was his choice. Because he loved us so much that he knew that was the only way that we can be free from the chains, from the sin, that from death. You know, that's why I can stand up here and say, if I am taken home tomorrow, I can rejoice in that. Because I don't have to be afraid of death. You know, last year this time, they thought I had leukemia. And I had to have one of those bone biopsies where they go into your hip bone. Wasn't fun. But you know what? I remember being able to use that experience to share Jesus. Because I can seriously say, I wasn't afraid. Because I knew who had my life. I'm not in charge of my life. And we kid ourselves thinking we are too oftentimes, but we're not. And I make a choice to make sure that my life is that God, that Jesus is in charge of it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They said that back when, in the midst of the 70s, 80s, that was the number one scripture quoted. Sadly, today, they say it's, don't you go judge me. You know, judge not lest you be judged. But the attitude behind it's very self-oriented. God's called us not to be self-oriented. Doesn't mean that I don't have responsibilities to things for myself or my family. I'll be leaving here in a few days, going back to Kentucky where I'll be for the winter. That's a responsibility God's given me. But I'm going because I believe that's what God's directing me to do. And it's putting God first. Not putting my needs first, not putting my family's needs first, but putting God first. I'm thankful that the God that I serve is a loving God. And in so being, he cares about those things that we find important. He loves Levi, just as he loves you. He loves your family, not only in Carolinas, but in Honduras. Wherever, he loves your kids, no matter where they're at, and no matter what they're going through. He knows, he sees the issues that you as a family have to deal with. As we get older and our bodies sometimes start to crack in places where they used to not crack and creak, you know. God knows that, and he loves us. If you've fallen down and gotten in the mud, guess what? God loves you. And no matter how many times we fall down, God is there with his hand reached out. I talked last Wednesday at a memorial service, and I shared to the people how the promises that God has given to us as his children. But there's one condition to those promises, folks. Yes, they're there, and it's out of love. And Christ has got his hand pulled out. It's up to you to take your hand and grab his. He's not going to force you. He loves you too much. But his hand is there. And you know, I've gone into some pretty lousy places that I should have never gone to. I'm not talking about my mission work. I'm talking about my sin. I have been so dirty. And I say that not boasting, but I say it because it's true. And I could scrub and scrub and scrub and never be able to make myself clean. But it's not my job to make myself clean. Because Christ died on the cross and he bore all my sins. And I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's where my cleansing comes. I love one of the songs we were singing. It talked about how the world says that you're no good. Oh, if I told you how many times I heard that in my life. How many times I've heard that I'm worthless. Christ showed me and is continuing to show me, because I still struggle with my identity at times. I still feel like I'm such a failure. Those thoughts, those recordings that we got in our heads from people growing up, sometimes they'll hit me. But Jesus is there saying, Barry, this is how I see you. This is your identity, your true identity. And it's not what the world has projected on me. It's not what the world's projected on you. But it is. Do you ever feel like you're not loved? I will say I sure do. I have. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy to be loved. Jesus says, get over it. Because no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, I love you. And recently I was at the bank And I was sharing with the bank, at the time I had some young men staying at my house, and they said to me, the banker said, "Oh, you're such a nice person." I said, "Well, no, ma'am, I'm not." And she said it to me like 3 or 4 times. And then finally I said, "Ma'am, I'll tell you what I am. I'm somebody who has experienced God's forgiveness. I'm somebody who's experienced His love. And because I know that He loves me, that's what motivates me to love others. That's what it's talking about in 1 John in the passage of Scripture. Yes, life can hurt. I knew someone years ago who said they would never love again because it hurt too much. Look how much it cost Jesus, the pain at the cross. But again, that was a choice He made because He loved us. And it wasn't a choice. He knew what was going to happen. He didn't regret it. Beloved, I encourage you. Lord willing, I'll be back in the spring, but we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. The only thing we're promised is this moment. We know we're having this moment. If something happened that God took me home and I didn't make it back, what I want to know is that we're going to see each other again. We're going to be part of that wedding celebration. There is nothing more important. I pray for each person here that the Holy Spirit would come on us. If we have areas of sin that's not confessed in our lives, that we confess those sins, that we get them right with Christ. If we have any issues that are going on, that's things that we're holding on to, that's keeping us from going deeper in our relationship, that we will let go of those things. Ask the Lord, "Lord, show me what things that I'm holding on to that's keeping me from being that which You've called me to be." God wants us to be able to be free more than we want it. In a second here, we're going to have our, probably do it a little different. Like you know, I set up this wedding table. What I want to encourage you to do is ask God, "Lord, is my life representing Your love to the world around me? Who am I really, really living my life for?" They say that I was always taught that whatever you think about the most, that's probably who your God really is. When you feel like, I want to encourage you in your seats to really say, "God, what is it that's keeping me from achieving and becoming what You want me to be?" And then I'm going to ask people, you know, in a wedding ceremony, God bestows upon us so many gifts. And I believe in memories, having good memories. When working with people who are struggling with addiction, there's what they call triggers. There are good triggers and there are bad triggers. What a trigger does is it's something that can, if it's a bad trigger, they'll see it and it makes them think, oh, let me get high again. You know, it can set them off into that bad thinking. A good trigger or a good memory is when I see something and I look at it and it encourages me to go deeper into my faith. Did that make sense to everybody? We want to have, I love having, I got plaques, I have all kinds of things that have Bible verses, things that motivate me, that encourage me, that are like triggers, good triggers to make me realize no matter what my feelings are, and feelings are real, but they're just not always based on reality. And when I have some of these feelings and I see these scriptures, they help me get back on the right track. Positive triggers, positive memories. And I want to encourage you to come down to this table, the wedding table. These are trinkets, little things that I've got here. Just take one. And that's a memory of this day. A memory of us saying, Christ, I want you to increase and I want me to decrease. This day, I want to see us all go deeper in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord. They said there's gale winds warnings going on today. I want to make sure that all of us, that our roots are so deep in that ground that even hurricanes can't uproot us. I love you. Not because of anything you are or have done, but because you're my family. I love strangers because they're my family. I know that maybe they haven't come to Christ, but I know the Lord died for them. And I know God wishes that none should perish. But again, it's up for each person to make that choice of grabbing the hand that Christ has reached out to us to grab and let Him lead our lives instead of ourselves. So as we're going to